Mini episode 315 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Everyone, want to welcome you to FDH Lounge mini episode number 315. The gentleman that we have joining us today, I've been looking forward to having this conversation with him for some time. He is, among other things, I know I'm leaving some things out here, a NASA advisor, angel investor, marketing consultant, author, and social media expert. About the author part, he was kind enough just to send us out a copy of his new book, Nice Companies Finish First, Why Cutthroat Management is Over and Collaboration is In. It's a book that I got a tremendous amount out of, and not his first book, by the way, the latest one that he has out. And I really felt that it validated a lot of things that I had already believed in. I was very, very happy to see these principles kind of laid out in such a manner. And I just have to say personally that in my experience with the FDH Enterprises and with the 21st Century Media Alliance in providing leadership to these entities, that I've from time to time taken some slings and arrows for being perceived as insufficiently selfish. And this book does a tremendous amount to flesh out why that is such short-sighted thinking and why, in looking out for other people, that's the best way of looking out for yourself. And this gentleman, again, founder of Help a Reporter Out, acronym HARO, CEO of the Geek Factory PR firm. He is a frequent guest on the Today Show, CNN, Fox News, Fox Business. Again, the appearance earlier today on Fox Business to talk about Yelp and some of the perceived inadequacies over there and some of the issues that they have with transparency. And, again, a gentleman who can speak on many different subjects, and we're very pleased to have a conversation with him here today. It's a pleasure for us to bring in Peter Shankman of the FDH Lounge. Peter, welcome to the program. Sir, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. Good to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to get a chance to speak to you, and as I indicated, I really got a lot out of this book. I really thought it was tremendous the way that you fleshed out the core of an idea about how an ethical approach is ultimately the smarter approach and all the things that went with it. I'm just curious in terms of, because you laid out an awful lot of examples in there of CEOs and business leaders doing things the wrong way. You clearly studied a lot of other people in the course of this. How did your own experiences and your progression to this point in your career, how did that factor into the insights that you displayed here as well?
Well, you know, it's funny. When I started my last company, Help a Reporter Out, the what I realized is that by the time it was really growing, I was sending out close to a million emails a day, and they all came from my email address, peter@shankman.com. And what was amazing about that was that every time someone had a problem or a question about HARO or whatever, they'd simply reply. It wasn't a do not reply address or, you know, don't monitor or whatever. It was me. And so people were amazed at how quickly I responded. But I realized that I was running an email newsletter that was essentially a customer service business, and that's what you had to do. And that really led me to the concept that more and more people don't expect good customer service anymore. And if you can give them good customer service, they will stay. They'll become fans for life, essentially. And I'm seeing that in business, that in business you're finding companies who are doing things the right way are generating a lot more revenue, or being nice are generating a lot more money.
And ultimately, that is it's a great lesson from the book. You provided many different examples of it. And I'm just wondering, because you probably hear this from people from time to time. You probably hear stories like my own of where – people sometimes get a hard time from some of their coworkers, some of their colleagues, and folks who don't get it and who think that there is such a thing as a shortcut in terms of selfishness, and that if you're just selfish in a clever enough way, that that's a better way than extending yourself to people. And I have to say, I've almost kind of given up on those conversations. I just kind of avoid them with some of the people who really don't subscribe to the philosophy. But How do you don't strike me as the kind of guy who's going to give up on something like this. And again, you wrote a book on the very topic. How do you reach people who just don't really see that there are benefits to this kind of collaboration, taking an interest in other people and putting yourself out there without expecting something concrete in return?
It's actually very easy. For the CEO, I explained that there is a lot of revenue to be made in being nice. To the basic customer service agent, I explained that their job is much more protected and they are much more likely to get a raise for simply being nice. You know, we look at things along the lines of, oh, I should do this because it's the right thing to do. Well, yeah, there's no question it is, but it's also very much about being nice to generate revenue. You know, look, it's great to be nice. I'm a big believer in karma. You know, I think that we should be nice because it's the right thing to do, but I also run a company and I'm also a big fan of generating revenue for that company. And if being nice accomplishes both those things, why not?
That's an excellent point because, and this is something that mostly I've just kind of joked about in private because it sounds kind of cynical, but I'll use it, this joke on the air here with you. My philosophy of unselfishness is the new selfishness vis-a-vis perceived benefits. People want to be selfish because they think that's the shortcut to it versus if you're putting yourself out there, if you're gaining the trust of other people, you're getting the perceived benefits of being selfish without being a jerk, with getting people to buy into what you're doing. So it's a philosophy that, again, may seem counterintuitive to a lot of people, Peter. It's a tremendous message that you outlined in great detail in the book, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, the key is very, very important that, you know, there are many, many things you can do to generate niceness, but the basics just start with helping. You know, how can you offer help to someone without trying to sell them on something? What can you do that simply answers a question for them, solves a problem, whatever the case may be?
Absolutely, and that's a way to gain trust from people. In terms of CEOs, in terms of employment managers, I wonder if you've gotten any feedback from anyone recently with this book in terms of the timing of it and in terms of it seeming kind of counterintuitive. We just passed the unfortunate recent 5-year anniversary of the collapse of Lehman Brothers and what has been really a horrible economy for the last 5 years, ultimately still a buyer's market in terms of labor. So there might be a perception by a lot of business leaders out there that, hey, jobs are scarce, times are tough, why should I go out of my way to be a nice guy? What have you said to anybody that's given you that kind of feedback?
Yeah, you know, the concept is basically very simple, that with the era of social, with everyone talking, with everyone being very much about communication online in real time, you know, being, for lack of a better word, a bad person, or as I, you know, the original title of my book, I really wanted it to be Douchebags Lose, but they wouldn't let me do that. But, you know, once you are able to get, once people realize that you have a benefit in being nice, you know, and you're doing a good thing and you're being nice, they will share that. They will tell the world how amazing you are. And it's all about that once you're able to do that. Once you're able to show people, hey, you know what? We care. We're a good company. And when you do that, people tell their friends. And as soon as they tell their friends, you know, that's how you grow without having to market yourself. You know, it's great to do marketing, but let's face it, no one believes how awesome you are if you're the one that has to tell them.
Absolutely, yeah. Kind of waters down the message a little bit if you got to trumpet yourself all the time instead of anybody else doing it. And again, you've been such a big proponent with social media about using that to put out things that are helpful to people, again, without always asking for something in return. So in that vein, I'd like to take a minute and plug something here that's not of direct financial benefit to either one of us, but something that we're both a believer in. I know from following what you've been doing how big of a proponent you are on swimming. And I have to say, in the last month or so, for health reasons, I've gotten pretty involved in it. My senior editor set a great example for me. He's dropped 40 pounds in a couple of months with doing it. I found it to be a tremendous benefit and something that it seems to me most people don't realize how enjoyable it can be, let alone in terms of the health benefits of it. So let's take a minute there because it's something you know a lot more about than I do. You've been doing it much longer. So what are people missing out on that haven't taken up serious swimming?
You know, it's about swimming. It's about biking. It's about running. It's about doing something that gets you out of your comfort zone. I heard a great quote that said, you know, the comfort zone is a great place, but nothing ever, or is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. You know, and if you really want to start growing your world and making your world a better place, you know, you need to start stepping out and trying new things. And to do that, you know, for me, I did my first Ironman a few years ago, you know, and I'm doing more. I'm doing another one this next summer. And for me, it's about losing weight and getting in shape and feeling good. That's really the key.
Absolutely. You have to be healthy all the way around in order to be effective in your life. No question about that. As far as entities which may or may not be very much in a good state of health, I know what your thoughts are on Yelp. You, again, expressed them with Fox Business earlier today. So I'd just like to draw you out on that a little bit there. The notion of transparency, the notion of advertising versus legitimate reviews that are given on the site, it seems that they're sort of at the heart of a lot of different issues about the monetizing of new media and some of the ethics involved. And you've raised some very interesting questions about that.
I'm a believer that as we continue to grow in this social sphere, we're going to find more and more people shying away from the non-verified reviews. And more importantly, really going to people who they trust. People in their network, people they want to deal with on a regular basis. You know, I have friends, I'm a skydiver. I have friends who are much better skydivers, and they tell me where to jump, how to jump, when to jump, things like that. When I get, you know, answers from them, I trust them a lot more than I would just some random person, you know, on the street. And the same thing goes for food, beverages, bars, hotels, airlines, whatever it is. So we're going to start trusting people more and more. Once we do that, we have sort of our own trusted network, and that gives absolutely no reason for there doesn't need to be these untrusted networks anymore. You know, who the hell knows whether or not these people on these fake sites are on these sites are real people, whether they're fakes, whether they're just, you know, waiters or waitresses who work there.
Yeah, and what the agendas are as well. That always comes into play. Why does somebody say what they're saying? Could any grudges come in that are separate and aside from anything like that? There's a whole lot that has to be questioned about that. I will say I did get a good laugh out of Yelp recently. I discovered a page that they had for Los Pollos Hermanos, the fictional chicken place from Breaking Bad, and it was very convincing with all of the quotes on there on the page. very well done. It was, people were referencing running into manager Gus Fring while they were there. So
oh, I think that's a little brilliant.
Bit of a chuckle. Yeah, it was awesome, Peter. You know, amidst all the other things that they may be doing wrong, they are giving people a good laugh with that.
That's very, very funny.
That was outstanding. But, again, as far as people's motivations, this is another thing I'd like to take up with you as well and your thoughts on this, specifically the feedback and the reaction to the Morton story from 2 years ago, the famous example of you tweeting about getting a Morton steak at the airport, just throwing it out there as a joke, them surprising you with it and everything. And reading some of the feedback afterwards, some people having to jump in and troll the whole thing about, well, if you didn't have 6 figures worth of followers, Morton wouldn't have done this. What drives people? I mean, you seem to be somebody who has a hand on the psyche of what people are doing online, what motivates people. What motivates somebody to throw that out to a Peter Shankman online about, it's only because of this? I mean, who's the kind of person who thinks that it benefits their day to put something like that out there?
There are haters. You know, haters exist everywhere. And actually, I like having haters. The more I have haters, the more it means I'm doing something to change the status quo, the more I'm doing to shake things up. You know, so I definitely want that. But for me, it's really funny because, you know, these people, oh, he did this 150. Of course they did. You know, no one's denying that. But what's amazing about Morton's is that they're still very much in tune with every single person who comes into their store, big or small. You know, if you go to their restaurant, they'll ask you if you make a reservation. Oh, cool. You celebrating anything? Yeah, it's my wife's birthday. What's her name? My name is Kira. Oh, great. And when you show up, there's a, you know, on your menu, it says happy birthday, Kira. It's the easiest thing in the world to do, but everyone loves it. They take pictures of it. It's amazing. It really is amazing.
Yeah, it was free pub for them, but, you know, sometimes it's also the right thing to do. It was the right thing for McDonald's to give free cheeseburgers for life to Charles Ramsey, but sure, they got the publicity out of it while they were at it. And sometimes, again, this kind of brings it full circle. The right thing to do in so many instances is also the smart thing to do, and That is, of course, the underlying philosophy of this great book, Nice Companies Finish First, Why Cutthroat Management is Over and Collaboration is In. In addition to, I know you're on this book tour recently, Peter, what are some of the other projects you've got going on? We always like to give everybody a chance to plug. I understand you're heading to my state of Ohio next month for an event in Columbus. So what are some of the next big things up on the docket for Peter Shankman?
Well, the biggest thing for me is I just launched a company called Shankman Honig, which is a customer service consultancy designed to take companies back to the days of amazing customer service. You know, again, it goes back to what I said about marketing. If we can create great customer moments for clients that allows other people to tell them how great they're doing, you know, they can save money on their marketing, and not only that, but they can do tremendously higher revenue. So we're working with that. We have several clients already. It's really good stuff. Really good stuff. We're having a good time with that. So that's new. My site has been relaunched at shankman.com. I just updated that. What else am I doing? I'm on TV a lot. I'm training for this Ironman. I'm trying to skydive whenever I can. Trying to stay busy. Oh, and I have a 4-month-old daughter that, God bless her, sleeps through the night. So we're very fortunate in that regard.
Excellent. No reverse cycling there. Congratulations on that. And good to know that everything is going well for you along those lines. And, again, a pleasure to follow what you're doing in the media. As you said, there are always a lot of television appearances that you're making. And as mentioned previously, past ones, many of them can be found quite easily at YouTube. And I trust today's appearance about Yelp on Fox Business will be among them. Peter, a real pleasure to have you on the program. We'd love to have you back sometime, sir. Thank you so much for your time.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Peter, and thank you all for tuning in, everybody. FDH Lounge mini episode number 315.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.